Cutting Audio.
The following programs are presented in graphic audio. Deathlands.
Easy! Don't fight it! Trim into the flow! We need speed!
Fast, then sharp!
JB called out from the cargo raft, with Doc beside him at the tiller.
Together! Must be together, or we go in!
Ryan stole a glance at the chains mooring the crafts in tandem.
Follow your lead!
Are we going to shoot past the rim?
Unless you got a better idea!
Outlanders.
If the entropic gradient of any piece of matter can be reversed... Quickly, Miss Bridget, what would we have?
Kane watched her face and was surprised by the expression that suddenly crossed it. It wasn't only comprehension. It was horror.
Immortality. You would have, for all intents and purposes, a machine to make anything or anyone immortal.
Sindri nodded in smug triumph.
Precisely, Miss Bridget. A god machine.
Stony Man.
Okay, guys. We're up against the first team here. Keep sharp.
Cover me. He was halfway across the open ground when he took a full round in the chest. Giving a grunt as the breath was knocked out of him, he crumpled to the cobblestones.
TJ!
He heard James yell over his comlink.
I'm okay. The armor soaked it up.
You got hit by a sniper. Keep your ass down until I can get that bastard.
No problem.
The Executioner.
Olin dropped the muzzle and raked the area beneath the plane. His burst sent 7.62mm bullets into the earth, then beyond. One man went down, screaming in agony, his weapon forgotten as he clutched at limbs shredded by Bolin's bullets. He lay on the ground, hands bloody, attempting to stop the gouts of red spurting from his legs, his upper body jerking as Bolin's continuous fire sent more bullets into him. Gasoline was dribbling from the Tucano's ruptured tanks, pooling on the ground under the aircraft. Bolin let go of the machine gun and reached down to snatch up a couple of grenades. He pulled the first pin and hurled the grenade in the direction of the already crippled plane.
See the movie in your mind. And now, our feature presentation. Cutting Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, Kate Torrey, and Thomas Penny. Deathlands 58, Salvation Road. The broken wheel weighed heavily on his chest, the sharpened and splintered spokes poking into his flesh. Pressed himself back into the ground, feeling the sharpness of the small rocks and pebbles in the red dust as they formed a hard, compressed mattress beneath him. He breathed in short, shallow gasps, trying to extract the maximum amount of oxygen from the minimum movement of his chest muscles. He figured that the axle of the wheel would keep it aloft enough to prevent it penetrating the cloth, skin, and flesh, breaking bone and pulping internal organs. The balance of the wrecked wagon was delicate, but he hoped that the bulk of its contents would stay on the far side, with just enough weight to lift the broken wheel and prevent it from tilting slowly and inexorably into his all-too-frail human frame.
He would have tried to move, to wriggle out from beneath the spokes, if not for the fact that they already had him delicately pinned. A breeze blew dust and grit into his eyes, making him blink. Everything was otherwise still. The delicate swirl of the wind and the almost whispered creak of the broken wagon as it shifted was all that could be heard. He couldn't remember exactly how the accident had occurred. A vague blur of action as the wagon hit the half-buried rock, the vast majority of its bulk hidden beneath the loose earth. The terrified cries of the horses as the reins and harness pulled on their muscle and sinew. The wagon suddenly brought to a dead halt by the obstruction. The arrested force pulled the animals back and snapped the neck of one, while the other tore free of the frayed leather and ran on, disappearing from view behind an outcrop, the sound of its terrified flight fading into the distance. His own flight, propelled by the force of the impact and pulled forward by the momentum of the reins he had been loosely clutching, had been too swift to recall. He remembered the impact of his fall, the bone-crunching jarring of his spine on the earth, recording indelibly that journey into his memory. The wagon had eventually rolled over the dislodged rock, after balancing for a moment in midair, poised to fall with the full weight of twisted and splintered spokes onto his body. The weight inside the wagon, shifted to one side by the impact, had tempered the descent of the deadly wooden stakes and a swift oblivion. But perhaps this was worse. He moved again, shuffling beneath the pointed ends of the spokes, which seemed to push back against him and pin him further. The heels of his boots tried to dig into the dust and push back, but found no purchase in the loose earth.
Emily, my love, are you all right?
The light clouds of dust that eddied around him dried out his mouth even more, making him choke. The coughing racked his body, the spokes pushing harder, biting into him. Their sharpness, now more than uncomfortable through his clothing, which he realized with despondent resignation, offered scant protection. There was no reply from inside the wagon. His wife had been in the back with their two children. Young Rachel would be all right, but the boy, Julian, was little more than a babe in arms, and Theophilus Tanner was worried that the child would be hurt. But no more worried than he was about his beloved wife. Doc's world revolved around Emily. That was why the university-educated academic was making his way across country to begin a new life, moving from the civilized and educated East to the still untamed wilds of the West. For a moment, as he considered this, a flicker of puzzlement and worry crossed Doc's brow, making him forget his current predicament, his mind switching to another gear. But surely that didn't make sense. Why was he alone with the wagon? Not alone in the sense that he had his young family with him, but alone in the fact that there seemed to have been no other wagons traveling with them. Yes, he could have become detached, lost, to be more blunt, from the rest of the train. It would be a reasonable assumption, if not for the simple truth that he couldn't, for the life of him, remember any other wagons traveling with them at any point in the journey. In point of fact, Doc was as sure as he could be that he had no recollection of even beginning the journey.
Emily, please answer me, my sweet. Please talk to me. Rachel, are you there? Is Julian all right?
The only answer was silence. Tears prickled at the corners of Doc's eyes.
Please. Please let this end. Let this not happen again.
Why should you get off light, Doc? Leastways, you're still alive, right? Some not so lucky.
If it had been possible to do so beneath the shattered wheel, Doc would have physically jumped with shock, and yes, a tinge of fear at the sound of the voice. Footsteps came to him across the ground, moving around from the blind side of the wagon. Twisting his head, Doc could see high-heeled boots and shapely denim-clad legs that moved up from the tops of the boots in a smooth line to a pair of sinuous hips. Above, a slim torso was clad in a short fur jacket, the blank face surmounting it a mask of impassivity, the big blinking eyes focused on his prone figure, the waves of blonde hair flowing like honeyed gold over her shoulders.
Lori?
She nodded. Doc squinted, the fear and uncertainty fluttering in his chest, a cavity that was also being filled with pain as the spokes moved and bit deeper.
But you're dead.
That's right. So's your wife and kids, Doc. We're all dead, but you're not. That's why you've got to go on suffering.
Despite the fear and agony, a wry smile crossed Doc's face. He had often considered that those who had perished were the lucky ones. This particular deceased person